Welcome to another edition of the Puro Pinche Primos.
Hola, primo, primas. We are back. We are the Puro Pinche Primos. I am Primo Luis Velasquez. That's your primo, Christopher Costello. And welcome back to another All Tennessee Titan edition. We will be talking all free agencies that we have signed, good and bad. But, primo, I have to start it somewhere. I have to start it. There's no way we can talk Tennessee Titan free agency without this. Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
I miss you already. I saw you in purple yesterday. It just wasn't right. You were having fun over there, getting interviewed, playing games. You act like we didn't matter anymore. And it hurt me to the soul. It's not right.
He did that press conference as if he never played for us.
Yeah, that's what it felt like. Like we were like nothing.
Getting signed to his first contract. I think that's what hurt the most. He did not look uncomfortable at all. I wanted him to be somewhat uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And he looked very, very comfortable.
It did. He knows he's about to go for 2,000. He better not go. You better not go for 2,000.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think he might.
Oh, God. But thank God the Cowboys didn't call him. Thank God the Cowboys did not call him. He wanted to be a Cowboy.
I don't want to talk about that. He's gone, and we have to, like, deal with it. But he's, like, I was just telling somebody we might have lost the best player in the history of the franchise. And I want to bring up this.
Yes.
What you brought up to me, right, is what he's getting paid is not what we thought he was going to get paid.
Right.
And feels like, why didn't we just pay him that?
Yeah.
What I think the most. It's like, it's not like if we won things, it's like, yeah, you went and got your money. Cool. I'm happy for you. But it's like, you actually didn't go get big money. You just left.
Well, I mean, I think it's just that we have to move on. Like, if we're going to get the offense that we want, we have to move on from Derrick Henry, right? Baltimore is a run-first offense, and if we're going to become a pass-first offense, like we all want an exciting offense, we have to let him go. And it hurts. I don't want it. But let's talk the new NFL free agencies of the Tennessee Titans. Start off with the big signing, long snapper, Morgan Cox, right? We cannot
do... That's where you started? Although, I will say this. Actually, when I saw it, I did get excited, and I was like, yo, how depressing is this that I'm over a long snapper? And yet, we do need that, because... Actually, I don't know this, and I'm sure you do. Mm-hmm. What is the status of Stonehouse after his injury from last year?
I think he's still, like, the last thing I saw, I think it was, like, last month. Like, he's still projected, like, to play in, like, the second quarter of the season.
What?
Yeah, like, he's not starting either.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That was our best play.
Stonehouse was the departing gift from a Vrabel era of, like, horrible coaching. And so we're going to hurt your badass punter.
Yeah. For anyone that has ever had an incredible punter on their team, it makes an enormous difference in staying in games. And we know that Stonehouse.
And hopefully, like, he still has a leg, right?
Exactly. That's what I'm worried about.
Hopefully, he didn't lose a leg. But all right, let's start. Let's go ahead. I mean, we just might as well start with the big dude, right? Start with the big signing. Wide receiver Calvin Ridley, we signed him for 4 years, $92 million contract. Really $50 million guaranteed. To me, was the number one wide receiver in free agency.
Agreed.
Right?
In our last recording, I said, whoever gets him, it changes that team. It can really put them like in a good position. And then like immediately after, the Titans signed him. And I was like... I was at a loss for words, almost as I am now. The one thing that I want to ask you about, though, is that the money that you expected for them to throw at a receiver? Number one. Number two, do you think that a 30-year-old Calvin Ridley is worth that? Even if they overpaid him, they way too overpay him, right? And three, how much does this like signal a complete shift in Titans culture when it comes to GMing, free agency, and contracts?
Yeah, I think this money and this signing by Calvin Ridley is more than just Calvin Ridley himself, right? I think it's, hey, that, like you just said, I think the number one thing is, hey, we're a different team, right? We want to win. We are come into this new era of Tennessee Titan. The offense is totally different. We're going to go after the big guys. We're going to go after wide receivers. And wide receivers, pretty much, you know, like, we've been this for a long time. Wide receivers don't want to come here.
No.
Right? They do not. Whatever want to come in. Especially a top wide receiver in free agency is never choosing the Tennessee Titans. So that is just a change. Just like, hey, we are changing the culture around here. And I think what that money is has a lot to do with that. And that's necessarily Calvin Ridley. I mean, when you and the big number everybody looks at, $92 million. But like I said, the fully guaranteed money is $50 million. And then there's a lot of wide receivers that are going to get re-signed here this offseason, I believe, that are on teams. And so when it comes down to it, like, he'll be a top 20 wide receiver, I think. By the time the year starts, like, he'll be a top 20 paid wide receiver, which is fine for Calvin Ridley.
Yes. I want to bring up the fact that, you know, he's coming in getting paid that money to be the number two receiver on our team, right? We have DeAndre Hopkins, who's an all-time great first ballot Hall of Fame. Still, I think, the stickiest hands in the league. Like, this man makes catches that, like, I am still shocked by. Who loves Will Levis, right, and DeAndre Hopkins is a great sign because DeAndre Hopkins isn't somebody who fronts and, like, is just going to play nice. But Calvin Ridley is coming in to be that number two guy, and I think he's going to be all over the field and going to get tons of targets from Will Levis. And he's exactly, I think, what Will Levis needs. He needs a guy that's going to scurry all over and find a way to get open so that Will Levis on the move can, like, dump it off to him or, like, hit him cutting across the field. More importantly, moves Treylon Burks to where he needs to be because he's not a number one, which we've used him at. He's not a number two. He's a number three.
He's a number three.
And in the slot, they've shown stats. Like, once you move him into the slot, he's so much more productive and actually gets open, like, deeper down the field. But the Calvin Ridley signing, I already told you, and we both know my jersey history with the Titans, but that number zero, I might have to get that Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, I just saw it today that it was a zero, too. I'm like, oh, that's sweet. Yeah. That's sweet. Yeah, I think yeah, moving Treylon Burks to number three, being a big slot receiver, like, that's he's going to be working those inside safeties. It'll be good for him in learning. Maybe he can learn under these two next year, because I don't think D-Hop will be with us next year. Maybe he moves up to a number two and Calvin Ridley's a number one. Hopefully the Titans still go wide receiver in the first round. Yes. Pick up maybe a Malik Nabers. Pick up the dude from Washington. One of those. We got the seventh pick. I think four quarterbacks go before us.
Yeah.
So then you've got then wide receivers come off the board, right?
Yeah. Who are your? Because I think you're thinking that we're gonna get either the we're not going to get Marvin Harrison Jr.
No, right? That would be great.
He's going for so we're going to get, I think your belief was that we're going to get either the second or third receiver off the board.
Yeah, it's either going to be Malik Nabers or Odunze. I forget his name. Yeah, from Washington. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
so this is the thing.
Yeah.
We add them to the current receiving corps that we got, right? And I also want to bring up the mention that we'll have a fifth wide receiver.
Oh, fucking Nick
Westine.
Fuck, man.
It's like, I don't even know how to describe him. He's like the, to me, he's like the kid that does everything right, and yet, like, he's there on heart.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
He's not there on talent. He's there on heart. And which I kind of appreciate is that he can be a consistent special teams guy so that we don't have to sacrifice other guys from other places, especially in D.
Nick Wexbook Akine is good as long as you can play him in the right spot. And what I mean by that is there's too many times that he had to be our number one wide receiver.
Exactly.
Right? Yes. And we're like, oh, God, our number one wide receiver is Nick Wexbook Akine. Now, you're number four. Even sometimes you're number three, right? Like, he's great.
He's going to be our
first. Yeah, exactly.
Once we drop receiver.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, yeah, he'll be great at that. I have all these games where he's either our one or number two, and you're like, God damn. Like, we're the bottom of the barrel.
This is the thing, though. I want you to imagine this, because now this can be a possible reality, and this is the way you know this. I'm a pass first guy. Like, I love teams that throw. And this could possibly be a personnel group on the field. We got to talk offensive line soon. But offensive line, Will Levis, with Tony Pollard, with DeAndre Hopkins on one side, Malik Nabers on another, with Calvin Ridley and Treylon Burks in the slot.
Stop it. I just got goosebumps. I just got goosebumps.
Exactly. The Tony Pollard thing was one thing, right, when it comes to this new coaching staff and being like, what are they trying to do?
Right.
But the Calvin Ridley signing after the Tony Pollard signing, to me, was like, oh, we're playing fast. Like, we are not doing ground and pound. Like, we are moving the ball. We're getting – and that's the one thing that we know, even in the years with the Titans when we were going to the AFC Championship, right, where we still had a loaded team, we still had A.J. Brown, and you even had, like, Julio Jones, like, locked – was that if we got behind, it was really tough to come back.
And if we had to keep it under 30, right? Exactly. We were not going over even 25. Like, we had to keep it low, right? And this time, hopefully, our offense is legit. So, let's go ahead and talk. You talked about him. You brought him up. Tony Pollard, Tennessee native. Memphis, Tennessee, right? From born and raised in Memphis. He went to the University of Memphis. Gets a 3-year, $24 million contract, which is right up par to everybody else to sign it, right? Like I talked at our last episode, all these running backs are getting roughly about $8 million a year, which is a boost up for them. How do you like that signing? What's good, what's bad about that signing?
I've always liked Tony Pollard, which I think this is what they really want to use him for in Tennessee, I would hope, is like throwing him the ball, right? Like Tony Pollard, and I only know this from my DraftKings NFL season day projects, but there'd be plenty of games where the over-under for Tony Pollard was 25 receiving yards. Like they were giving you that bet. And I was like, 25 receiving yards? Like how does he not get 25 receiving yards on like 2 to 3 passes a game? And there would be games where he didn't get that. And I was shocked because it's like, you have all these weapons at wide receiver. Obviously, CeeDee Lamb had a career year, but to dump it off to someone like Tony Pollard and not get that as like part of your game plan that you're going to have like 40 to 50 yards receiving a game just seemed foolish to me. And I don't see him not getting that in this Titans offense, and particularly with Will Levis. I think he and Will Levis need to become best friends. But my concern, like I mentioned to you before, was I'm worried that him and Tajay Sharp are very much the same type of the same type of running back. So what do we do on third and short? What do we do when we do have to go like run heavy? We could platoon them, and yet we do know that those guys wear and tear. Like, we don't want to beat them up. We need them fresh late in the year, particularly when if we have to play in cold weather and rely on a little bit more dump offs than usual with not so great footing on the field. And particularly that we know how much the NFL doesn't really care about field maintenance when it comes to big games, as we've seen lately. Right. So we got to make sure that we have somebody else there doing something for like a big back. At least that's how I feel as a safety net. Where
yeah.
are you at with those?
With Tony Pollard, like, he's part of a piece. Like, he's not, I'm not convinced that he's the starting running back. Right, okay. I think Tajay.
Oh, Tajay.
Yeah, Tajay Spears. Tajay Spears. Tajay Sharp is a receiver. Tajay Spears. Right. Yeah. I think Tajay Spears is still the number one running back, and I think it'll be a battle for number one. I think Tajay will pull it out. Last year was Pollard's first time ever, like being the number one guy. Right. He the Cowboys went all in on him over Zeke. And but he was also coming off an injury. It wasn't that great of a season for him, yeah. but like he was still coming off I think it was a broken fibula or something. Like he broke his yeah. And so I think we're gonna get the full version, the full healthy version of Pollard. And so he'll look better than he did last year. I just don't think that he's gonna be splitting it up with Tajay. Tajay's gonna get a lot. Of you know, a lot of playing time, man. Like that dude last year, like he was out snapping Derrick Henry last year.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he was. And let me apologize for saying Sharp so many times. That's I think part of my trauma. But Tajay Spears, who deserves to have his name said correctly, because he held down that team in so many ways last year, made so many big plays, and really kind of, I think in particular those games where we needed to throw to try to stay in the game, made you feel like, oh, this guy can, you know, not just because he was making catches, but he'd break tackles. And for me, I'm always like, oh, that guy might be too small. And he showed that he's bigger than what he is, right? And I'm actually okay with Pollard possibly like starting the season off slow so that he's fresh later. But that brings me back really quickly to the Ridley thing, is like how much guys need to recover, right? And you're talking about Pollard having to take a heavier workload than he's ever had coming off of an injury for the first time. That's like that big of an injury and not really fair to a player. But Ridley, the thing that excites me about Ridley and the thing that I was surprised by Ridley is I didn't know Ridley was 30 years old, and yet you mentioned like he really kind of had almost not just a year, but a year and a half when he was suspended for gambling, that guys don't get that, right? Guys only get time off when they're injured, which means their bodies aren't at full capacity anyway. But this guy has had a full season to be in full shape and to work out. I'm more concerned about how good that is for a player's brain. And the longevity of like being healthy, I think that's gonna pay off, and maybe why he got the 4-year deal. But I'm excited by how quick this offense can look, and also especially I want to say this, by it's not a free agency thing, or I guess could be a free agency thing, but when people were putting out fake news and saying that DeAndre Hopkins wants out, and his immediate response on social media was that that's cap, was a great sign from me, because it was like, please keep that man happy. Keep DeAndre happy.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I've been waiting, especially after Derek, you know, we all realized Derek Henry wasn't going to be a tight end anymore. I was like, oh, it's D-Hop. Like, we need D-Hop to cater us in, to be that veteran presence on this offense. And so, yeah, he looks to be sold. He looks to be all in. So shout out to him. Another sign-in by the Titans that I really like is Lloyd Cushenberry. He was a center for Denver Broncos. He was the number one interior lineman in free agency. Again, like, we don't usually get these number ones in free agency. But we look to be – he gets a big signing, 4-year deal, $50 million, $26 million guaranteed. He's a big dude, 6'4", 315 pounds. He's a proven – I think he's got a top 10 – probably top 10 center in the league. He's proven he's still young, and he hasn't had any real injuries this in his football career yet. I mean, as much as we can talk about a center in football, like he, it just seems like we got the dude. We don't have to worry about that position anymore, right? Like, there you go. We got a center. He's legit. That's not a problem in our offensive line no more, right?
And how huge is that in the sense of just like, one, taking care of Will Levis and the sign, the signal that that sends to that, like how much we're going to protect him and that he's the guy. But that ends up being like, I think, a signal to the rest of the offensive line, whoever is there, whether they're like coming in or are staying on the team, is that like we're serious about this group being good. I also want to say that, like, you brought this up in an earlier episode, but the fact that they're also going to have Bill Callahan, head coach's dad, be the coach for that offensive line, and like to get somebody of that quality and that experience to then just be a position coach is so solid and so astronomical for like the team to be able to be successful.
Yeah, well, Kush,
and I think,
yeah, Cushion. Yeah, Cushenberry said that in his interview that they asked him what was the leaning point that made you come to the Titans, and he said it was Callahan. Like, being able to be coached by him, knowing he's going to maximize me, you know, and I can get everything from a coach that you need to be. So hopefully, you know, we get more and more of that coming towards us, because we still have a lot of holes on that offensive line. So to me right now, there's only Cushenberry and Peter Skoronski are the only ones for sure on that offensive line, right?
Yeah.
They did have another signing, Sadiq Charles,
yes.
who's going to be battling for that right guard spot. We got, what's his name, Skrunskill that we got from the 49ers 2 years ago. And he did a decent job last year, but he did have injuries. I'm not sure he's like penciled in or inked in for a starting right guard. So Sadiq Charles should be pushing for him. And then thank God we freaking cut Dillard yesterday. Andre Dillard, who was our left tackle last year, absolutely horrible. Absolutely horrible. Should not be on anybody's freaking roster. He got cut yesterday by the Titans. It's a $10 million cap hit that we took on that. But we, yeah, that is a big up and coming thing that we need to figure out through the draft. And like I said, I know I want a wide receiver in the first round, but there's three top tier level tackles in the draft this first round. Starting out with Joe Alt from Notre Dame. And if Joe Alt is there, to me, like, that's the only, if nobody takes Joe Alt before us, then that's the only dude that we take over any wide receiver, right? We have to take Joe Alt.
Yep.
If he's available, if nobody picks him, take him. I wouldn't be mad at him over a wide receiver, but
yeah.
He may be available.
Which receivers are you willing to take to where you stop and reconsider drafting a wide receiver? We're going to imagine that Marvin Harrison Jr. is gone, right? Now, how many receivers down do you go? And let's say Joe Alt is gone, right? By the time we get to number seven.
Alt is gone, then...
And we all know the draft may sometimes create these surprises and there's bad teams that make bad choices.
Yeah, yeah. To me,
wide receiver.
To me, Malik Nabers, right? If he's there, take him. Roma Dunze, if he's there, take him.
Uh-huh.
Like Brian Thomas from LSU, like he, oh, no. Like he's going to be either really great or like he's going to be okay, right? Like he's.
Yeah.
Because his problem, Brian Thomas, like, he looks good he looks good on film, but he had Malik Nabers on the other side. They both are LSU. He had Malik Nabers on, so defenses were double-teaming Malik, letting that dude cook. My hope, if we can't get Malik Nabers or Romo Dunze, that would go Joe Alt, and then we get one of these Texas receivers in the second round. Adonai Mitchell or Xavier Worthy in the second round would be freaking legit. That would be my hope if we can't get the other two. Because, I mean, look, you talk, look, I just go down. We got Marvin Harrison Jr., crazy great. Like, he's going to be put in the Hall of Fame already, okay? Malik Nabers, yeah. Roma Dunze, you got Brian Thomas, Lade McConkey, Ladd McConkey, I'm sorry. I'm not sold on that dude. Then you got Adonai Mitchell, Xavier Worthy, Keon Coleman is another dude from Florida State.
Yeah, so Keon Coleman is someone that I thought might be interesting.
Yeah.
In that position, because I was worried they Neighbors all and Odunze are all gone by right. Seven. What do we do?
If they're gone, look. To me, Minnesota was making moves. They've already made draft day trades yesterday, right? They traded draft picks with Houston yesterday.
Yes.
To move up in the first round, they're trying to get a quarterback. Right. Yes. So I would be okay if. If Alt is gone, if Neighbors is gone, and Odunze is gone, we trade back with Minnesota, who's going to want to come up and take a quarterback soon. Get some picks. We don't have a third round pick this year. You can probably get another one next year from Minnesota. So move back and wait on one of these wide receivers to fall. Like I said earlier, and a couple other, there's like 10 wide receivers that are much better than. The wide receiver from last draft.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that in that is.
Oh, I just finished watching Xavier Leggetti's film, right? He's from South Carolina. I know we don't talk about draft yet, but that dude, man, he excites me, man. But he's like a fifth year football player. He's fucking yoked. He looks like DK Metcalf. And he's only had one good year, which is last year when he was like 25 and playing against it. But that dude is yoked, man. I wouldn't mind wasting a second or a third round pick on Xavier Leggett, man.
Yeah, dude. So, yeah, I don't. Yeah, because then we're going to dive in.
Yeah, we're going to dive
in. Let me get out of it before you take us deeper and deeper down. Where is it on. I do want to get into our DB situation. Because I feel like that's the other main chunk to go over is what do you see so far on what they've done? And I also, you brought this up, but it looks like Snead is still more and more of a possibility as far as making a trip with the Kansas City Chiefs to get the all-pro defensive back onto the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, There seems to be three teams willing to trade for Snead, us being one of them. That would be great. We did sign Chidobe Awuzie, I think that's how you say his name, from the Bengals. So Bill coming with Bill Callahan. That guy, I don't know if he's gonna be a legit number one. Like he was a starting last year with the Bengals, but he lost his starting job to a rookie. Midway through the season,
he has a herniated disc.
He herniated his disc last year in his back last. So he's going to be dealing with that for the rest of his career. And so I think, we still need a shutdown corner. Snead will be that dude if we can figure out that trade, right? He would be that dude. Legit would automatically turn our DBs around. But as of right now, like the way the roster is, like we're bottom 10 as far as DB goes in the league.
Yeah, and I feel like that's one of the things that I am appreciating about how this free agency and the approach to things and the guys that we're getting is like, they see the holes that need to be filled and the places that need to be improved. And they're like, let's go get really good people for those things. Let's not just fill and get new people, but we're going to go get really good people, right? So I'll say that, like, obviously Tony Pollard isn't Derrick Henry. No one is Derrick Henry. But the fact that they went and got someone of Tony Pollard quality made me feel a little bit better.
Yeah, they got, to me, they got the best of what they're trying to be, right? We're going to be this passing offense. Let's go get the best type of running back for that system. But yeah, I like this staff. They are more into analytics than the Tennessee Titans have ever been. ever. So I like that aspect of this team. They know that in this league you're gonna have to pass the ball, and you're gonna have to stop the pass, right?
Yeah.
They did go ahead and get a Kenneth Murray. I like Kenneth Murray, but yes. I remember the Kenneth Murray that was in Oklahoma. Right? I remember like the beast he was at Oklahoma, killing my Texas Longhorns. Right? He went on. He was a first round pick. Got drafted to the Chargers. Did all right over there. It seemed like he got lost. He flies around, and sometimes like he doesn't read the play, and so he gets mixed up on counters and stuff like that because he's just flying to the ball. So you're gonna see him. He's gonna pop off your screen on the defense of making some big time plays and then also missing some big time plays because of misdirection or whatnot. So. It's a need that we had, especially with Aziz signing with the Texans. So I like that Kenneth Murray signing. And hopefully, I mean, that's pretty much it. We re-signed Nick Folk as a kicker. We talked about Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. We talked about Morgan Fox, that long snapper. That is all of the signings. Hopefully, we're not done. They did have a meeting yesterday with Chase Young. I don't like that he left the building and they didn't sign him then. Like, so I'm not too convinced that they are going to sign him
at the visit.
Yeah, I hate when like free agents come in and then they leave. Like, that means that they didn't close the deal.
Isn't that what they're always doing? Is that they're like visiting and then making a decision?
Yeah, but you would hope that. Oh, yeah, I want to be here. Where do I sign? As a team, that's what you're hoping to do. Like, oh, you want to sign? Like,
of course,
you know.
But these guys, they're trying to get that money. They're not trying to be too eager.
Yeah.
But I can also see that. That's a very used car salesman approach. Like, stay on the lot.
Yeah, stay here. Don't leave. Don't go and talk to anybody else. This is where you want to be. I would hope that they also go after Justin Simmons from the Denver Broncos. Yeah. Because we need...
That's the guy that him or Snead, or if they get... Obviously, my hope is they get both, right? But I feel like they got to get one of those two to solidify... the defensive back positions in order to like have a shot at improving how we're going to approach stopping the pass.
Yeah, for sure. So there's still a bunch of holes. Hopefully we're not done spending this money right now. I saw earlier this morning that we are number two as far as spending money this NFL free agency, but like they haven't spent a lot of first year money. A lot of these guys have been, signing bonuses, so I think they're gonna be all right. Let me see who's still available. Bobby Wagner, he just signed with somebody. Clowney, how is that dude still in this league?
Yeah, I think Wagner, I think went to the Commanders.
Yeah, that's who it went to. Old Odell is still out there.
Yeah, he just got released.
Yeah. Yo, what about, what's his name, retiring yesterday?
Yeah. Darnold. No, not Darnold.
Yeah, Darnold. That's the last name, right? Man, we're bad.
No, Donald. It's Donald. Early in the morning. Yeah. Aaron Donald.
Aaron Donald. Donald. Jesus Christ. The best D-line ever.
We thought coming. It looked like even in their Super Bowl year, he was thinking about retiring. Right after the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think he knows what CTE does.
Yeah, he's smart. He's a very smart dude, man.
He knew that, like, all right, I got my money. I got my accolades. I got a ring. Like, it's time to move on. Yeah. And I respect it.
Yeah.
Like, guys who do find it out, it's like you're looking for the next part of, like, the next half of your life to go well.
Yeah.
By, like, leaving the game in full condition. There's moves, and I think what we also know too is that this Tennessee Titans free agency is very important this season because of the fact that the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Houston Texans are loading up.
Yeah, they are. And we talked about this earlier. We may see it this year, but definitely by next year. Like, the AFC South may be the toughest division in football here soon. You got C.J. Stroud and what the Texans are doing out there. You got Richardson, who I think is going to be just a freaking highlight reel in Indy with Jonathan Taylor. Then you've got Jacksonville, who like just seems to be reloading, right? They realize that they've got this quarterback, and they're just going to keep reloading. They just signed Eric Armstead yesterday, which I got caught up. I saw that. I was in the car with my wife, and I freaked her out. I saw Eric Armstead. I said, fuck. She's like, what's the matter? And I was like, oh, no, nothing, just football stock. Sorry. My bad. She's like, holy crap, man.
Those things, the immediate reactions to things, and people think that, like there's something catastrophic that happened, and the reality is, like, somebody putting up.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know how to explain
it. I was with someone.
You were what?
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I didn't know how to explain to her Eric Armstead to the Jaguars. So I was just like, it's just a football thing. No, don't worry about it.
When I was with someone when Calvin Ridley got signed, and I went, oh, shit. And they were like, what's wrong? And I was like, oh, no. I was like, trying to think. I was like, one of the best receivers in free agency signed with the Titans. Someone really, really good. And they were like,
Yeah. At that point, that's when I just text you. You're the only one that understands me, Chris. I just text you. Let me call my primo here, okay? He understands me. He knows what I'm going through right now. I got to text my wife, and she was having a rough day, right? At work, and she called me a bunch of times just. Until I was like, listen, I know you're having a bad day, but Derrick Henry just signed with the Baltimore Ravens, okay? And so I am also having a bad day. She was like, will you shut up? And I was like, this is serious, okay? Derrick Henry is no longer a Tennessee Titan. I'm sorry that you're having a rough day.
Yeah, no, that's just big. I had a fellow coworker come through and be like, oh, Derrick Henry to the right. And I was just like, get out.
Shut
right
up.
Now. This is not going well. Yeah. So I think, you know, I'm excited about free agency. We'll see what else happens in the DB situations. We'll see what happens in the O-line situations. And obviously, we're going to have our 3-hour pre-draft analysis episode
where
you talk about people whose names I
Xavier can't pronounce. Leggett. Xavier Leggett. That's my dude right
remember
there.
Remember that name. But I'm excited. I'm actually, you know, I felt like we could see the Derrick Henry loss coming.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how I was going to recover from that. And I'll say that
Calvin really helps.
Tony Pollard, signing Calvin Ridley, getting a for real center.
Yes.
To anchor that offensive line.
I think it's just seeing that there's an obviously direction that we're trying to go to. Like, there is a plan in place, right? And it looks like we're trying to
see what.
Yeah, we can see that. Like, we may not see it in wins next year, but like, I can see the future.
Yeah.
Right? And it all depends on Will Levis, honestly. Like, he's got no excuse. If we can fix this offensive line, he's got no excuse to see if he's going to be our dude or not.
And to have someone who's coming off of coaching Joe Burrow, makes me really good in the sense of like the comparison between those two guys as far as like how they use their bodies on the field and the throws that they can make. That gives me a lot of confidence that this coach can work with. And his demeanor, seeing that coach at press conferences when he comes in, like he seems like a guy who's going to be able to reach players and get them to be at their best. And so I'm excited about him working with Will Levis and getting him to be even better, because I feel like who Will Levis had last year is not essentially the guys that are going to push him to be the best that he can be. And I feel like now we have someone who actually can do that for the team.
Yeah, for sure. But all right, guys, that's all the time we got today. We are the Puro Pinche Primos, and we are